6 minutes after the hour of 12 noon. We're live. Central Time, Tuesday, April 26, 2022. Dave Krieger with you on the Power Hour. Homeschool moms, I told you you were going to love this. You did the right thing, because public education right now is a real hellhole. And parents who are actually doing what Sherry Few, our guest that's going to be coming on here in just a second, are doing is rising up. And what are they being labeled as? Domestic terrorists. You know what? I don't care what Merrick Garland thinks. He can go suck eggs for all I care. That's about how much I have respect for that man. Anyway, it's one of these things. We've got good news and we've got not so good news. We're going to be talking about what's going on in New Jersey with Sherry here in just a second. I want to let you know a third grade teacher saved a 9-year-old student who ran to her desk with a bottle cap stuck in his throat. That's right. Little Robert, I'm not going to mention names, but he came in from gym class. He was thirsty, and he could not get the bottle cap off of the water bottle. And so he tried to use his teeth, squeezing the bottle, and the water pushed the cap down his throat. He is a student in East Orange, New Jersey. He ran to the sink when he realized he was choking, but he couldn't get the cap out, and ran to the teacher's desk. And because he was signaling he was choking, the teacher immediately did the right thing and gave him two Heimlich maneuvers and dislodged the bottle cap, thereby saving his life. So you see, sometimes there's good things that happen in schools. This happened in New Jersey. Unfortunately, not all states are like that. And this is one of the reasons why government schools have, according to Sherry Few, she is the president of the U.S. Parents Involved in Education, USPIE. They have a website, uspie.org. Now, that generally means it's nonprofit. And she's the founder and has served as president since June of 2000. So, I mean, she's been involved in this thing a long time and has been endorsed by a lot of different people like Phyllis Schlafly, Concerned Women for America, the Family Research Council, and Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann. Michelle Bachmann, of course, from Minnesota. She's known for her expertise in Common Core and education policy, has been a featured speaker for national and local conferences and radio shows. We are so happy to have Sherry Few on the program with us. Welcome.
Thank you, Dave. I appreciate you having me.
Now, you're producing a new documentary called Truth and Lies in American Education. Can you give us the 40,000-foot view of this movie coming up, this documentary?
Absolutely. So this has been a 2-year-long project, but it's been very worth the effort and the time that we've put in it. The name of the film, as you mentioned, is Truth and Lies in American Education, and that's exactly what the documentary exposes. It shows the truth about what's really happening in government schools and exposes the lies that are being taught to children. So the topics are anywhere from the sexualization of children to anti-American propaganda and inaccurate history lessons, and even critical race theory. So, you know, the timing could not be better for the release of this film, because parents have, they're fed up. They will not tolerate any longer being called domestic terrorists or being denied access to what their children are learning in government schools. So the film is set to be released this Friday, and your listeners can go to the website, which is truthandliesfilm.us, and they can sign up there to be notified about ways they can view the film, because we're going to have multiple options that will be rolled out over the next few weeks. And we're interviewing some of the nation's best experts on these topics that will provide the evidence to prove to parents and to all America about what's happening in government schools on their dime.
Well, that's a great overview, Sherry. And here's the thing. I have another scenario for you. You have a child that doesn't communicate with their parents very much. They spend a lot of time in their room, and they don't really, they're not talkative about their feelings. they harbor their feelings, and then they go to school where the real truth allegedly comes out. There is a new story now, and this is something parents that, you know, your kid may have come to you and said, look, I think I have a gender identity problem. And now we're finding out from the latest video on TikTok that a California teacher set up what is known as a trans closet in his public school. And so what happens is he has these rooms stocked with transgender clothes and accessories for students to change into after getting to school and back out of before going home. And these kids dress up in whatever sexual identity they want to be, and they get to wear these clothes that their parents, of course, have absolutely zero idea. The whole idea is it's meant to be kept from parents. The goal of the transition closet is for the students to wear the clothes their parents approve of, come to school, and then swap out into the clothes that fit who they truly are, according to the teacher who knows more than their parents do. Now, this is serious. This is a guy. Last name is Martin Edwards. He's a teacher who runs the trans closet. He's also transgender. He's posted videos of himself in the classroom showing off the stilettos he wears to school. Now, I'm not even going to continue to read the story because it's on everybody's email blast when they get to the Power Hour. It's an article by the Epoch Times. To read that something like this is going on, did you have any idea this exists, Sherry?
Well, yes. As a matter of fact, we knew. That's one of the things that we address in our documentary. We're interviewing Bernadette Broyles, who is an attorney and started an organization called Child Parent Rights Campaign. So she is actually the attorney that is prosecuting in a case in Massachusetts where a pair of siblings in middle school were being groomed as the gender that is opposite their biological gender, and they were keeping it a secret and using the, you know, the requested pronouns against their parents' knowledge. And once the parents learned about it, then they were furious, of course, and that's when they filed the lawsuit with Bernadette Broyles. So Bernadette is one of the people, again, that we interview on our documentary. It is shocking to learn about how schools are grooming young children into transgender identity without parental consent or knowledge. But it's absolutely happening, not just in California. It's happening in Colorado, in Massachusetts. And that's the reason we want to do this film, is to get people informed so they understand, because we absolutely have to put a stop to this.
Right. Now, the thing is that in my show notes here, we're talking about New Jersey's educational board has been teaching lessons about sex in classrooms. However, as of late, concerned parents are really getting upset. This came after a local school board in Union County shared several sample resources that educators could use that the parents found out about it, keeping in line with the standards the state of New Jersey set, including gender identity, anatomy, and sexual orientation. Apparently, this whole thing has sparked a lot of controversy. As a result, Phil Murphy, the governor, recently called for the state's DOE to review its sexual education standards, noting he wants to provide further clarification on what age-appropriate guidelines look like. What age should a child be when they first learn about sex ed? I mean, you know, second grade, seriously?
Yeah, and that's what's so crazy about this is, you know, and it also reminds me of the law that they passed in Florida that, you know, Disney put out a public statement against. So they had a parental rights bill in Florida that said they prohibited in kindergarten through third grade teaching about sexual orientation and gender identity. So it is absurd, in my opinion, and I think many parents and citizens of this country, that we have to even have a law that says that. It is over the top that these government schools think that they can be sexualizing children at very young ages. You know, at that age, children are very impressionable. They have huge imaginations. I have a six-year-old granddaughter, and, you know, she can pretend and believe that she's an animal or a tree or any sort of object. And so if you put thoughts into their head at this very impressionable age that they could be something other than what they are, I think it's child abuse.
Well, a lot of people do, and the thing is, by the way, you mentioned Disney. One of our news stories that's in our news links, Disney stock. Disney has lost $34 billion, with a B, dollars in stock value, all because of the fact that they woke and started doing all of this garbage and protesting the Don't Say Gay bill, and there's nothing in that bill. But you're right. It is sad that we have to go to that extreme because of woke corporations like Disney and Walmart and Amazon and all these people that literally are funding a lot of this stuff through the back door. And I know they are because they're donating to all of these campaigns of these politicians and educators that sit on these school boards that put all this stuff out there. And as far as gender identity, I mean, should we even be teaching this stuff in school?
Absolutely not. You know, what it's called in the mental health realm is gender dysphoria. And it is a mental health issue. And a mental health issue is defined as something, you believe something that's not real. And that's exactly what this is. You know, it's, they believe that they're a gender that they're not. So that is a mental health issue. And I believe mental health needs to be handled between a family and their chosen physician or doctor. It should not be in the schools whatsoever. Those are intimate family decisions, and shame on these government schools for not only trying to address these issues, but even doing it behind a parent's back.
Well, I know that there have been stories in the past, and we've talked about them on the show. And these are stories of, like, a couple of brothers that were twins, and one of them, apparently, they botched a surgery, a circumcision, and severely damaged his genitalia. And, of course, the doctor said, oh, you just need to give him a sex change now because there's no way he's going to be able to perform. The guy ended up having a sex change and could not live as a woman and ended up committing suicide. Which the rate of suicide amongst transgenders and transsexuals is huge. Nobody talks about that, especially the ones that are out there advocating this stuff in public schools. And there's got to be a better way to circumvent this other than the church. And I'm not sure that even the church and their parishioners, a lot of these places are so damn judgmental, Sherry. It's very difficult to try to find a happy medium to educate as to what these people are, what their real agenda is. What's your take on that?
Well, as far as churches, in some of the research I did on these transition closets that you mentioned when we first started discussing this, what I read was that there's transition closets in the Lutheran, Episcopal, and or some of the Lutheran, Episcopal, and Methodist churches. So they're even on board. Of course, those are some of the more liberal denominations, in my opinion, but it's an issue again, I believe, for families. And you know, if you think about it, I'm not sure how old you are, but I was in high school in the mid '70s, and I don't remember anybody being transgender. So now, all of a sudden, I'm talking to a mother a few weeks ago, and she's telling me about her fifth grade child and how in his class there were three transgender children. Now, how is that? You know, we didn't ever hear of this until, I'd say, the last 10 years or so. And I think, you know, those of us who were opposed to the gay marriage, you know, decision by the Supreme Court, we knew, and the reason we were opposed to it, we knew that once that happened, it was going to swing the door wide open for every other sort of nefarious sexual behavior, perversion, if you will. So that's exactly what I think we've seen ever since that time, is it just gets more and more insidious, and I think it's an intentional agenda to destroy our country.
You're saying, though, that the Lutheran and the Methodist and that as such are the more liberal. Well, what do you consider the conservative aspects as far as religious sectors? Is there some other religion that's more conservative that doesn't do this stuff?
Well, you know, I'm an evangelical Christian, and I live in the South, and Southern Baptists, for example, you know, they're very conservative. And I think, you know, people that have the Holy Spirit understand clearly that this is from the dark side. Yeah, I believe it's from the pit of hell. It's an abomination to God, and Satan uses these type of tactics to do, you know, like you pointed out, the suicide rate among the people that think that they are a gender other than their biological gender. It's destructive. It destroys people, and it can have the potential to destroy our country because they're using the LGBTQ as an identity group, you know, and so it kind of delves over into critical theory. You know, you've heard of critical race theory a lot lately, but that's not the only Marxist critical theory, and it is Marxist in its roots. So there's critical queer theories and critical feminist theory. So there's several different Marxist theories that are tied up together in something they call culturally relevant pedagogy. And that's what they're teaching in the K-12 schools that has the tenets of critical race theory. So if you want me to give you an example of that, so on one side, they talk about people who are oppressors, and then they have another column of people that are oppressed. So the oppressor side is males, white, heterosexual, and even Protestants, they say, are oppressors. And on the other side, you have females, which I don't feel very oppressed. I don't know why females are considered oppressed, but nonetheless they are. Even if females, every other race and ethnicity, LGBTQ, and what they call minority religions. So those are the groups that are oppressed. And what the Marxist roots of this intend to do is to pit people against one another, people groups against one another. And a house divided against itself will surely fall, and that is the goal with this. And, you know, as far as our faith, the Bible speaks heavily about unity. And yet the goal of these Marxist theories are to divide people and divide our country and ultimately destroy our country so they can replace it with Marxist or even a communist form of government.
All right, we're going to open up the phone lines here, 844-769-2944. If anything you have to add to the conversation, folks, now's the time to do it because we don't have a lot of time left in this segment. And here's the thing, with everything that's going on in New Jersey, for example, you think their DOE is going to do anything about making changes to the program or other states? What do you think nationwide? How's this shaking out now?
Well, I think there are a lot of states that are paying attention. I mean, what happened in Loudoun County, Virginia, that turned their state blue to red. You know, legislators and those in policy decision-making positions are recognizing that they could lose their position if they don't adhere to the concerns of the parents. So and parents are waking up all over the country. They're running for school board and taking over their school boards. We've been encouraging this through our national organization. And, you know, in many cases, they're able to run a slate of candidates and take full control and even fire the superintendent if necessary. So it's really important that we restore parental and local control of education, because a lot of this nefarious pedagogy is pushed down through the federal government and incentivized with federal dollars and from other national and corporate organizations, as you mentioned earlier.
Right. Now, USPIE.org is the website you can go to, and I did visit that website, and I mean, this is a huge myriad of resources, folks, that literally, it will take a couple of minutes here before the end of the segment. We don't have much time, Sherry. Esther, you have a question for Sherry.
Yes, Sherry. Recently, I've been spending 6-7 months working with a school district to bring their public information request forms not only up to date, but also to make it become a legal document. And in my research in the state of Washington, the universities, colleges, and most school districts do not have a legal public request form. So why am I bringing this up? The reason is, what can we do about it? We can read, we can lament, and we can cry, but what can we physically do about it? Each parent, each citizen, and I can do a public request for a school in Indiana if I want to, and vice versa. Okay, so every parent, every citizen in any school district has the right to do public requests, and you start from the basics. Please give us the credentials of the teacher that wears stiletto heels. Why did you hire him? Please provide the entire file on him. Now, when I talked to the superintendent, he said in the last 2 years, he's only had 8 public requests. And the form that they had is completely, it wouldn't be acceptable in a court of law. It doesn't have the date requested. There was 19 different points that make it, put it into the shadow land so that they're not culpable. And so I've been working with them, and we're almost to the point where we have a legal public request form. But I'm really encouraging everyone, if they get swamped with public requests, they legally have 20 days to answer. If they don't say anything. And after a year, you can take them to court.
There you have it, Esther. Sherry, could you stay on a few minutes? We want your take on what Esther is just saying. Esther, stay on the phone if you're still there. And we're going to be right back with Sherry Few and taking more of your calls after this very, very short break. Stay with us.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone, or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com, or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the Optivita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Thank you. 31 minutes after the hour of 12 noon, Tuesday, April 26, 2022. Dave Krieger with you on the Power Hour. We have Sherry Few on the line with us. She is the president of United States Parents Involved in Education. The website is USPIE.org. That obviously is nonprofit for a very good reason. They're there to fight all of this corruption going on in public education now. We had Esther on the phone. Esther, you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, now you were the question that you want to posit for Sherry to answer. Is it just your take on everything that you've just expressed, or do you have additional things you want to add?
Well, I would like Sherry to, could she explain what shareholders and stakeholders, the difference between the two, and how it affects parents and children in the school system?
Well, that's an interesting question, not really related to your information you provided earlier. So let me address that, and then I'd like to talk a little bit about the topic you brought up, which is very important. So shareholders and stakeholders. Well, you know, and this is kind of off the cuff because I haven't given this a lot of thought, but in our state there was a move toward getting school boards to adopt a resolution saying that parents were the primary stakeholder in their children's education. And I objected to that language because I believe they are far more than that. I think they are the first and primary educators of their children, not simply a stakeholder in the game. They are the authority and should have the absolute authority. So I'm not sure if that's the kind of answer you're looking for, but that's my opinion on that term when it relates to parental authority over their children's education.
Well,
so then okay, go ahead.
This is what's happening right now all through the United States. The red herring is the despicable queer, freaky queers that they're hiring, and okay, we'll leave that where it is. That's the red herring. The real issue right now is an agenda to remove parents as the primary stakeholders of their children's future, meaning that they have the right to dictate to the school what their child will learn or not learn. They have the right mm-hmm. to say, we want to look at this curriculum, no or yes to it. They have that right. And there's an agenda going that's going to take about 10 years. But the agenda is to remove parents' authority and their legal responsibility to their children so the school education system has full authority over their children. That is the crucial situation that's going on in the United States of America now. As Marxist said, he said, and all communism say this, give us your children for 8 years and we will mold them to what we want them to be. And what are we molding our children to be? Nothing. Independent social states, welfare people, people who have problems and that are going to be a drag on the taxpayers. That's not the issue. The issue is they want our children. The children is the prize here. So please,
well,
do the research on stakeholders and shareholders, because this is very important.
Okay, I understand what you're saying, and I absolutely agree with you. And that's the reason that we have produced the documentary Truth and Lies in American Education, because we address this very issue, how the government school's goal is to separate the child from the parent and to pit them against one another. And we address this in multiple ways in this documentary, because people do need to understand that this is the goal. And that's why the critical theories have been implemented that are Marxist in their roots, is to pit people against one another and ultimately to change our form of government. So the other point that you made about parents should have the authority to know what their children are being taught, that is so important. But what we're seeing all over the country is parents are being denied access to what their children are learning. And of course, we talked about earlier, they're doing things that they shouldn't be doing without parental consent, behind parents' backs, and even telling children not to tell their parents. So the other piece of this is the public records request that you were speaking of earlier. So what we're seeing is that parents are not only being denied access, but they're being told they have to, what we call FOIA. It's the Freedom of Information Act. So they're being told they have to FOIA the information. And that is absolutely wrong. And I think that's another point you made, is that parents should absolutely have access to what their children are learning. I even take it a step further. I believe community members that are paying the taxes that support these schools should also have access to what's being taught. And they should not have to FOIA the information. In the county where I live, the school district here in South Carolina, I was told I could have access to slides that would prove that they weren't training teachers in critical race theory. I was told that in a public meeting. I emailed and requested the slides, and then I was told I must FOIA them. So I did FOIA them, and then they told me that the slides were proprietary, that they belonged to the presenter, and therefore they couldn't release them. So I have filed a lawsuit against Kershaw County School District, where I live, because they have violated the Freedom of Information Act, and we can't tolerate this. But it's really sad when an individual or a parent has to go to their own expense and hire a lawyer to make the school district comply with the law.
Well, you know, it's really sad. Yeah, go ahead, Esther.
As you're referring to as a FOIA, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Why did you not fill it out?
Oh, I did. I said I did.
Okay, and you. And then what happened?
I filled out the request, and they denied the request, saying it was proprietary.
Okay, so did you fill out another request asking them to explain why they said it was proprietary?
No, I hired a lawyer, and I'm filing a lawsuit because they violated the law.
The thing is, you see, most people don't have the money to hire a lawyer. Now, parents can go and ask for the reason why they stated a proprietary reason. They can ask them to explain themselves. And they can do that again and again and again until they get an answer. And that answer is either going to indict them or it's going to explain why they did it, which is going to open up a Pandora's box of information. Freedom of information request is so valuable. And, please put it in the right perspective. Do as many public requests as you can to get to the bottom of their reasoning. Now, if they don't answer in 20 days, you do another public request. But here's the thing is, a public request form is a legal document that can be presented in court, and then it saves the parents tons of money for discovery because they've already done their homework. They're going to hand in a complete file to the lawyers to say, here's what's happening.
Esther?
Go ahead, Sherry.
What you're saying. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. What I have done is filed a lawsuit because in our state, it's settled in 10 days. So there's not going to be a lot of discovery and all that expense. My cost is going to be total $7,000 to win this case. And I have the opportunity to recoup what I've spent because that's in our statute. So I appreciate your perspective on this. I think parents absolutely need to be FOIAing information. We've had other parents in our state that have had successful FOIAs, and they're using that information to try to take further action. But you have to know the parents are getting stonewalled every step of the way, and that's why the film that we're about to release is so important, because we need more people well-informed like yourself. There are so few that are, and I know that's why you're making these points, is you want people to understand the power that they have. And so that's the point of our film, is to get people more informed and more involved and get involved. And the way that they can get involved is to go to our website, uspi.org, and sign up to join the movement, because we have 20 state chapters already established, and we're growing constantly. And so if there's not a chapter in their state, we'd like to talk with them about starting a chapter. Because what we need is a grassroots army across the country with activists in every state fighting these issues if we're going to make a difference. So that's my recommendation. And we have some really great resources on our website that parents can use. Things like we're talking about, how to do a Freedom of Information request. There's resources on the website about that. There's templates for school board policy and things about social-emotional learning. Just a ton of stuff on the website that are resources that can empower parents to reclaim their proper authority in their children's education.
Well, we appreciate you sharing a few. Esther, thanks so much for your call. And again, USPIE.org is where it's at. I mean, I've just looked at this website, and it's huge, folks, with the amount of information. You're looking for solutions? This is the solution. Now, truthandliesfilm.us is the website. You go there, you watch it. You can watch the trailer. And we're actually going to supply you with this in your email blast. If you have not subscribed to this, this is a solution, folks, because knowledge is power, which is our slogan here. This is one of the reasons why we try to get the information out there, because we know you want solutions, especially when I get into a conversation with a school nurse and she tells me I can have your kid removed from school and removed from your home with one phone call. Don't test me on this. And when I hear stuff like that from even the school nurse, and I hear stories about a California teacher having sex with seven of her students and is sitting in jail right now. Well, see, part of the problem is parents, if you're not paying attention to what's going on, they get the better of you. That's called apathy, because you do nothing. And then you have all of a sudden a child like what happened in Loudoun County, Virginia, that is so now distorted and messed up, and another child that is now basically sitting in juvie hall until they turn a certain age because they felt it was okay to wear a skirt and molest the opposite sex in the restroom. You know, when you have a school board covering stuff like that up, these people do not need to be sitting on that board anymore. They need to be in prison, because as far as I'm concerned, they're an accessory to all of this. Sherry, what's your take on that?
Oh, I agree. Absolutely. And so that's why we're encouraging parents and other citizens to run for their local school boards. And again, that's some of the resources that we have on our website. We've got a guide to local school boards, just the nuts and bolts, and then we've got a more comprehensive guide so that people who haven't been involved politically prior to now can have some guidance as to how, you know, the school board operates, the authority they have. Because unfortunately, what happens to new school board members is they're required to take training, and they end up in, you know, one of these union type trainings, and they're told that they're basically a rubber stamp to the superintendent and the district, which is absolutely false. School boards have all the power and authority to control what's happening in their local schools. So we need parents and like-minded individuals to run for local school boards, take over their school boards, and change these insidious policies that have been developed and implemented in the school districts around our country.
We appreciate that. Thank you so much, Sherry Few, for joining us here on the Power Hour. And, of course, this is all in advance of the release of the film this coming Friday, Truth and Lies in American Education. Folks, when you get the links in your inbox, watch the website, go to the website and watch the trailer so you know what to expect and find out how to watch this film when it comes out on Friday. I think you're going to be shocked at what you see and hear, but it might actually motivate you to do something, and solutions is what we're all about. Sherry Few, once again, thanks so much for joining us here on the Power Hour.
All right. Thank you, Dave. I appreciate you having me on.
You bet. And good luck with the film and everything that you do and everything. God bless you and all the work you're doing here to fight the good fight. Folks, now we're back to a little bit of news headlines, because I mean, there are some things. This is part of what we were talking about before the break on focusing on state and local governments and what's going on in your own neighborhood. You know, paying too much attention to D.C. We already are very much aware of what's going on there. We know that the mask mandate is being appealed by the DOJ, Experts are saying that move could backfire if it goes to the U.S. Supreme Court. They just don't see this happening. But, you know, these people are very stubborn, and they want to try to push this thing. The CDC has no lawmaking authority, yet they sit there, and because it's for the public health, they put this garbage on us and make our life miserable. Mass mandates are making a comeback to U.S. college campuses. Here's another problem we have. And it makes me wonder why, other than the fact that you want to be a member of an alumni, that you've got places like American University in Georgetown in D.C., Columbia University in New York, Johns Hopkins in Maryland, Rice University in Texas. They're bringing back all the indoor mask mandates that were phased out not too long ago. They've already got vaccine and booster mandates. Folks, I don't know how you could let your kids go to one of these things. There's so many ways of making money, you know, because they're all boasting 99.9% compliance rates for getting the jab. And then you're going to watch these kids start to drop dead on the sports field or start having myocarditis. These people are sick, folks. They're all woke, and they don't need to be supported. And you, as parents, have every right to say where your kid goes to get an education. There are institutions out there that do not require the jab, and they're better off for it. So, you know, there's a lot of educators out there like Prager University, Dennis Prager, that can help steer you in the right direction. And see, here's the thing. If you don't have a game plan, you end up just like the homeless in Los Angeles. More of a 50% spike in deaths among Los Angeles County's homeless population during the first year of the COVID pandemic. And guess what it was driven by? Overdoses, not COVID. You can imagine that. 1,988 overall deaths among homeless people were recorded, up 56% from the 1,271 deaths during the same period a year earlier. The county concluded that drug overdoses remained the top cause of death. And if you don't want your kid to end up to be one of those, the idea is teach them the way they should go. When they, you know, get older, they won't turn away from it. I want to take a couple of minutes with the time we have left to focus on the economy, because there was so much news to cover. I want to point out some things. They're saying now that there are coffee shortages in Latin America, which could spell trouble for U.S. consumers, which means coffee prices. If you're not stocking up on coffee, maybe you should start because of the shortages are headed that direction. There's also some other things you need to be aware of. Adam, which is a real estate information firm that I use as an investor to ascertain areas and doing research where there are foreclosures in droves. Well, foreclosures are starting to rapidly rise, but experts are saying it's not a repeat of the housing crisis of the mid-2000s. They hit a pandemic high in the first quarter of 2022 as foreclosure moratoriums around the nation's expired. In the U.S. in the first quarter of this year, 78,271 foreclosure filings. Now, does that mean a lot given the fact there were 10.2 million foreclosures in the mid-2000s? Well, here's what it could mean. If the record jumps like it has, a surge of foreclosures could bring down record high home prices. Now, is that a good thing for some people who can't afford housing, driving the prices of homes lower? Maybe. It's what we call a market reset. The number of folks who can't make their mortgage payments, well, why is that? They're either staying at home, working from home, lost their jobs. I mean, there's so many different reasons why. They bought too much house. That's another thing about downsizing that works extremely well. But also understand that BlackRock and Vanguard are on the hunt. They've got nearly 90% ownership stake in all of the S&P 500 firms. Through their investment holdings, they secretly wield monopoly control over all the industries. And what do they want to do? Buy up every single family home they can find, making cash offers of 20 to 50% above asking price. Now, what does that do? It drives the price of the home sales up, meaning you cannot afford to buy these homes. Only the rich, BlackRock and Vanguard can buy them. And what do? They turn around and charge extremely high rents, which then in turn caters to the homeless problem. This is a fact, folks. Private property and freedom are inseparable, according to George Washington. Are you going to spit in his face and say no? We have the right to own property in this wealth distribution crap from the low and middle class to the upper, and in line with it, it's turning us into a nation of renters as part of societal reorganization. Now, they have names for this. It's called the Great Reset, Build Back Better, Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, Agenda for Sustainable Development. These are all global monopoly agendas, a clear separation of the haves and have-nots, and the owners and the owned, the rulers and the rules, the elites and the serfs. If you allow these people to come in and take over, you want to sell your house at a short sale in order to downsize? That's the number one recommended thing for those who want to get control of their finances. I know because I've been involved in foreclosures since 2007 when I started doing research into what mortgage electronic registration systems actually was. And I lectured as part of a series to the Texas Clerks Association V.G. Young School for County Government at Texas A&M. I was there in front of 200 county clerks, and I asked them, how many of you know what MERS is? Three hands went up, and I was in shock. I expressed my displeasure at the clerks for not doing their homework. I said, these people are taking over the land records, and they are obfuscating who really owns the property. And out of all of this, in December of 2010, I published a book available on the Power Mall called Clouded Titles, Mayday Edition. It's one of the four books that I have out there. And the thing is, when you look at the fact that titles are clouded, good luck even buying them. And that's why these rich investment groups like Vanguard and BlackRock can go into court with all their money, ballyhoo the judge. And a lot of these judges, their pensions are tied up in these investor pools. And they're afraid if they rule against the homeowner that their investments will drop. Well, I'm telling you something right now. A majority of these REMIC trusts that were started up in the mid-2000s that were all stealing people's homes, many of them were paid off by default insurance policies. The investors were made whole, and the servicers are the ones going into court, doing the dirty, and stealing people's houses and turning them around and selling them to groups like BlackRock and Vanguard and people who want to turn us into a nation of renters. This is one of the reasons why I'm out there preaching what I'm preaching, because I've been doing this. I've been a trial consultant in court to attorneys defending foreclosure, the little guy. Twitter, by the way, if you haven't been paying attention to what's going on, has accepted Elon Musk's $44 billion takeover bid. They're getting closer. And it's really funny. Disney's losing $34 billion in value since taking on Florida. But yet, Twitter now is looking at accepting Musk's $44 billion takeover bid. It's all about the money, folks. And, of course, Bill Gates is trying to stick his nose in it, shorting Tesla stock. $500 million, trying to egg on Musk to discuss climate change philanthropy. Ha, yeah, philanthropy, right? Right, Gates? Gates is a crook. He's evil. Just the way it is, folks. You know. I mean, what does a guy own? 242,000 acres of our nation's heartland in farmland? He wants us to eat fake meat while he sits there and eats a bone and ribeye. Well, this makes a whole lot of sense. And, of course, what's really interesting is when Joe Mercola, the doctor down in Naples, Florida, gets into, in his health segments, an article which we are posting with a video, Monopoly, Follow the Money. Who will eventually own everything, including you? Remember, all of those jabs that all these people, these 220 million people are getting? These are all patented, folks. Remember what the GMO people in Monsanto did? They were going out and taking farmers' land because all of the GMO seed was blowing into the farmers' land and tainting it, and they were being accused of copyright and patent infringement. And Monsanto was ending up with their property because of infringement. Well, what do you think happens when you are taking all of these drugs and these jabs and these boosters that are all patented products? And now they're inside you. And you have infringed the patent. You know, you were duped into infringing it. All you 220 million people that took the jab, you were duped thinking, oh, these are safe and effective. Yeah, GMO is safe and effective too, right? Yeah, we haven't seen how many women are going to be sterilized by eating GMO product. There's a real big agenda going on here, folks, and you've got to stay awake, which is the reason we exist, and we appreciate your support at the Power Mall. So understanding that, you know, we're trying to drive the idea of home entrepreneurship. We've got an article under gardening, farming, and homesteading you need to read and understand that Beijing is trying to partner with your state's agricultural officials after teaming up with Bill Gates. They want to rip you off, folks. You need to pay attention to what's going on in your own local economy. That's the reason we're including all of the news that we are including. It's a big release for this particular agenda. We've got like 50 news stories for you to go through and understand what's going on in your own backyard. In the meantime, Dave Krieger with you, thanking you for joining us for this segment. We will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, stay safe. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America.
About antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.